Live from Los Angeles, it's the Life Changes Show.
Look at the bright lights. Look at the bright lights.
We'll be with tonight's guest, founder by Grads Get Jobs, Krista Parkinson.
Look at the night sky. Look at the night sky.
And musical guest, James Valenti. I am Mark Legere, and now your host, the MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
We are calling this show The Art of Gainful Employment, in Hollywood, entertainment, and beyond. And you'll see why in a little bit, because of our guest, Krista Parkinson. And it's interesting because as I was thinking about this show, I was reminded of something that I would have rather not been reminded of. But since I was reminded, I thought, oh, it's got to come up. And it's about me coming to quote unquote Hollywood. Unlike a lot of people, I didn't come here thinking I wanted to be an actor. Now, I had acted in high school. I even got Best Actor of the Year award and in college and all that. But I actually came to Los Angeles because I wanted to be a singer. And I was studying with a particular opera singer and coach who was in Los Angeles. And I don't know how, I come to think of it now that I'm sharing this. It was the coach who said to me, you know, you could be an actor. And I thought, no, I really want to be a singer. And he's like, no, you should try and get an agent. Well, I tried to get an agent and I got an agent. And so the first thing I knew, the agent puts me out, not for an acting job, but for a modeling job. And I thought, there's no way I'm going to get a modeling job. I'm not even an actor, much less a model. And, you know, you have to know that these jobs, they get thousands of people submitted for one job. And then they only accept 100 or whatever for this particular job. Maybe it was 50 people they asked to have come in. I was one of those people. And still, I mean, here I got an agent, so they must think I'm good. They submit me, so they must think I'm good. And the people that are hiring must think I'm good because they only picked 50 people. And I get there and I think I'm not good. I'm not a model. I can't get this job. I'm the one that decided this. So I go to this audition and I get there and the most beautiful people in the world are there. I mean, gorgeous. And they all had these books with their model pictures doing this and that and half naked and all that. And all I had was an 8x10. I was so not prepared. But even not prepared, I could have let them decide whether I was worthy or not for this job. No, I decided for them. Even though I took all this effort to show up, I showed up. And I was told that when you walk in, there are going to be about a dozen agents all in a semicircle. You're supposed to stand in the middle and state your name and turn around for them. And I don't remember what else. Instead, what I did is I went to the guy that looked like the boss as I walked in and I crouched down. Krista is like, her face is cringing. Like, oh, he did what? And I crouched down next to him. And I'm like, hi, I'm not really a model. I shouldn't be here. I don't know how this happened. And he's looking at me like, what? We called you in? We're all here waiting to see you. Stand out there, will you? And he's like, well, can you just stand? I'm like, no, you know, I shouldn't be here. And he's like, okay, then I'd like for you to stand in the middle of the semicircle and state your name and say you're excusing yourself. And that's what I did. And I left. I'm cringing. That is like the totally wrong thing to do, no matter what. I don't know what they were looking for. I think I found out later. They were looking for a hair model. I got good hair. I could have gotten that job. I could have been a contender. But no, I ruled myself out before anything was even possible. So the funny or the sad thing is that even people who want jobs do those kinds of things. they either because of lack of self-confidence or because they don't know what to do or because they don't know who they are. And that is such a key point. And I know that Krista is going to touch on that. I wish I knew Krista when I was trying to be a model, which I wasn't, but when I was getting into the industry. So with that, I'm so happy Krista's here. I'm so happy she's doing what she's doing. I'm so happy my friend James Valenti is here to sing for us. I am excited about this show. All here on the Life Changes Show when we come back right after this.
True performance takes more than just working out. Every day we demand more from our body. But what does your body demand? Hunger is not your body's call for empty calories. It's your body asking for nutrients it's lacking. It's time to reward your body with Boku Superfood, made from the world's finest organic ingredients, vitamins, minerals, amino acids, and essential trace nutrients, all developed naturally and organically from nature's most nutrient-dense foods. Boku Superfood is quite possibly the best thing you can feed your body. So listen to your body. Reward it with pure, raw, beautiful food. Boku Superfood.
You are listening to The Life Changes Show, live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Marianne Williamson, Gary Anthony Williams, Sharon Stone, and Alex Gray on our archive page at lifechangesshow.com. Or you can visit us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We are back. I'm Filippo Voltaggio, sitting here with Mark Lejeune. And Mark, I'm sweating right now telling this story.
You know, you've told many a story on this show, but that one, I almost excused myself just so I didn't have to listen to the rest. What an uncomfortable, yet everybody's had that kind of situation in one way or another, whether they actually went through with excusing themselves or energetically did by, you know, in essence, kind of hiding or just barely getting through the motions or, wow.
Yeah. Say something else. I'm still catching my breath. Yeah. No. Well, you know what? And I'm here. And I've learned so much through it. And it's such a great example. I'm not going to say anymore because I know Chris is going to want to jump on top of it. So shall we bring her on?
Let's bring her on.
She is, we're calling this again, The Art of Gainful Employment in Hollywood, Entertainment, and Beyond. She is a former agent at William & Morris Agency, a USC Cinema School adjunct professor, and creator of My Grads Get Jobs, which I needed. Krista Parkinson, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you for having me. Yes, I was cringing for sure listening to that story. And it's so painful because you wanted it, but you didn't, but you wanted it. And they can feel that ambivalence. So if you don't really want it, well, why should they want? Why should they want you?
Yeah.
I mean, it's too hard to talk somebody into entertainment. So if you have to be talked into it in any way, shape, or form, then you should just not be in it.
Do you find, I didn't set out to be an actor and I didn't set out to be definitely a model. And I had body issues. They thought I looked good, but I didn't think I looked good.
Don't we all have those issues?
Right.
I mean, all of us.
Do you find that in, do you find students who don't know what they are, or don't like themselves?
Oh, I think we find humans like that. I'm like that. We're all like that. Anybody who takes a breath feels that way. Mm. It's just that nobody can really read somebody's mind. So they don't know, you know, the exterior is not necessarily what the interior may be.
Yeah. So I was saying at the beginning of the show that I came to Hollywood because I was going to sing. Now, why did you come to Hollywood?
To get married. I mean, is that the stupidest story ever?
No.
But it's true. It's 100%. I have an atypical LA story. So I grew up in Indio, California, down the street about 2.5 hours away.
Yeah. And for anybody that doesn't know where it is, it's nowhere.
It's nowhere.
It's in the middle of nowhere.
It's in the middle. Well, I will say this, though, because of the Coachella Festival,
now
Indio's on the map. But back then,
I don't mean to offend anybody. I'm just playing.
Yeah. Well, no, but it's true. So anyway,
anybody that has walked into Coachella knows that it's in the middle of nowhere.
Sand and no sidewalks. Yeah.
But this is important. This is important because, you know, it's not like she came from big city New York or whatever and makes it in Hollywood. I mean, she came from like
Indio.
Yeah.
Just came from Indio and I went to school at BYU and, you know, most kids who go to BYU.
Which is important too.
It's Brigham Young University in Utah. And, you know, even back then in the 90s, the whole goal is to get your MRS degree. So I graduated from BYU.
Which is married.
I graduated from BYU with a very naked left ring finger. And I thought this needs to get occupied. Why don't I move to the second largest city in America to see if I can find a husband? what a stupid idea. So I moved to LA and I went to church on a Sunday and found a roommate, moved in on a Thursday and started my little journey. Everybody said you can just get a job as a, you know, maybe a production assistant or call a few places. But it was actually my grandfather from Indio was the person who gave me the platform to find my job at William Morris. See, this is how this goes. So my grandfather was the town doctor in Indio, and he delivered everybody's baby. He took care of everybody's kid. Like, he's the guy to know in Indio. And he was very connected. And he had his hair cut by the same guy every day for, or every, his hair cut by the same man for 40 years. And his name was Victor Honig. And when Victor passed away, he didn't have any kids. And so my grandfather took care of the funeral arrangements and got to know Victor's nephew, who just so happened to be an agent at William Morris.
Oh.
So when I moved to LA, my grandfather called Richard Rosenberg and said, I've got a granddaughter who wants to be in show business. Will you talk to her? He said, sure. So I called up William Morris, and I didn't know William Morris from Philip Morris. I didn't know what any of this was. But I went in and he said, so what would you like to do in entertainment? And I said, I'd like to do voiceovers. He said, has anybody besides your mother told you you have any talent? I don't think so. He's like, well, why don't you just work here? Mm-hmm. Work at William Morris. If you hate it in 3 months, quit. But by 3 months, you should know whether this is for you or not.
Wow.
And so, interesting enough, I went down and met with human resources. And I didn't know back then how important it was and currently is to know people in power. And I didn't know how
everybody else that didn't come to town to get married came here to either act or work at William Morris.
Right. I had no idea. So, I ended up interviewing with human resources, and I should not have gotten the job at all because they would ask me questions. So what would you like to do? And I said, anything, whatever you want me to do. I mean, I was so eager beaver, but they said, do you want film? Do you want TV? Do you want music? Any of them sound good. Okay. I was just so open to doing whatever. And that's the wrong answer. You need to have passion behind it. So I was a fluke, and they hired me as a temp, and I got a job offer from the Larry King Live Show and William Morris on the same day. And because I didn't know anybody, I led with my just being honest. And so I said to the woman at Larry King Live, who I'd never met, oh, I just got offered a job at William Morris, too. I'm not really sure what to take, if I should do your job or her job. I don't know. And this woman, who I've still never met to this day, said, if I were you, I'd take the job at William Morris. You'll have longevity in your career. So years and years later, after I'd been at William Morris, and I think it was after I resigned, I talked to a woman at the Larry King Live Show, and I said, I don't know who this woman was who gave me this advice. And this woman I talked to said, you know what? I think it was me. I've been here for 30 years, whatever it was, she said. And I would say the same thing again today. William Morris is the place to be.
And there you are.
And there I was for 8 years.
And you weren't just there. You like became the queen of reality.
You've been talking to Brandy. No, I just had a job. That's it.
You know what? I've been talking to you and I read your resume.
Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you want me to read you your resume?
No. No, I had an exciting and a good career. Fun things happened at William Morris. Some good, some bad, some ugly, and a lot of learning experiences for sure.
Which is now, by the way, WMEIMG, right?
Correct.
Very exciting stuff. Actually, it. What's interesting is also when you left William Morris and you just continued to, I mean, you have such great stories. I wish we had, like, it would just, you know, pick the stories. It's like,
I like
tell
to
us,
tell them.
Tell
so.
Us this one. Tell yeah. us that one. And when you met so-and-so and when you almost met so-and-so. And when, so when we come back, yes, what?
Well, no, I was going to say, I have some good ones about that that relate right back to, you know, your feelings of body image and all of that.
Yeah, I know you do. And you're going to tell us when we come back, right?
Yeah.
Okay, you won't forget?
I hope not. I should write it down real quick. I might.
All right. Well, when we come back, Chris is going to share that and all the kinds of other stuff. And then a little later on, we're going to have James Valenti on singing live a cappella. And for those who don't know what that is, that means without accompaniment, which is the hardest thing to do. So it's really exciting. It's an exciting show. I'm happy to be here. Thank you for having me. We'll be right back on the Life Changes Show right after this.
listen to these words. He would not be beat by forces too fierce for man, woman, or beast. As the going got tougher, his courage increased. It's a little story with a big message, a message that speaks to children of all ages. It's about believing in yourself, overcoming obstacles, and never giving up. It's been called a masterpiece, one of the finest children's books ever written, and a true children's classic. Shadow Stevens has been called Dr. Seuss for the 21st century. His big little book, The Big Galoot, is a story about bullying. Bullying has become an American epidemic, and The Big Galoot talks about it in a way that will touch the heart of a child of four and a grandfather of 104. It's the story of a little boy with size 42 hands, the biggest hands anyone has ever seen, and the kids laugh at him. Then the laughter turns mean. They mock him and trip him, and much worse. But throughout it all, Warren Galoot says, "I'm a galoot, but I have good luck. You can't get me down. I never give up." A second grader named Chandler said, "I thought it was the best funny book I have seen in my life." And we agree. Whoopi Goldberg said, "This is a great story. Bravo, Shadow." The Big Galoot is available now as an ebook exclusively on Kindle Fire on Amazon for only $3.98. We strongly urge you to get it for your children, your children's children, or as a gift to yourself. Its message speaks to all of us. Have good luck and never give up. Go to Amazon.com and search for The Big Galoot by Shadow Stevens.
You are listening to The Life Changes Show, live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as The Green Children, Dan Millman, Hot Rod Fuller, and Mike Marino on our archive page at lifechangesnetwork.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We are back. We're having such a fun conversation with our new friend, Krista Parkinson.
Hey.
And I'm sitting here with Mark Legere, and I think he is too.
Hey.
Are you still sweating? They can't tell that's you.
Hey, okay.
So Krista, so you were going to tell us about?
Well, no, we just tying back into like body image issues and thinking you're not enough.
Yeah, thanks for bringing that up again.
Well, but it's like, I mean, of course I had that. I think back at my time at William Morris, here I am an agent, but I was a young agent is how I always thought of. I'm like, oh, I'm just like the little kid in the department.
And you were a blonde agent, and you were a woman, and beautiful.
And I'm 5'10", but in high heels, which I wear all the time. I'm 6'2 or 6'3". I've got gigantic blonde hair. I'm 150 pounds. I'm a substantial human being when I walk into a room.
Yeah.
But yet in my mind, I felt really like, oh, nobody remembers me. And so much so that I would go up to even people that I had worked with, you know, artists that we had represented, like, for example, Snoop. Okay, Snoop had a listening party in the Sunset Hills somewhere.
You mean like Snoop Dogg, not Snoopy?
Correct, okay. Snoop Dogg. So he had a listening party, and I'd worked with him on some projects before, and I mean, everybody was there. Leonardo DiCaprio was there, Justin Timberlake. Like, it was a really big who's who party. But in my mind, I felt like I'm a little Mormon girl from Indio who goes to church, and I don't drink coffee, and I'm just... So I felt very out of my element. So I would go up to Snoop and I would introduce myself, and like I would do any William Morris client. Hi, I'm Krista Parkinson at William Morris. You know, nice to see you, or whatever it was. Mm-hmm. So I decided to go up to Snoop again, and I just said, you know, hi, Snoop, Krista. He goes, Krista Parkinson at William Morris. I know you. Quit introducing yourself. And I thought, oh, I guess they do know me. But I was completely aware of my own physicality. Like, you were unaware of your own physicality.
Yeah. You know, do you think there was anybody else at that party that was uncomfortable?
100%, because everybody in Hollywood's uncomfortable. Mm, we're all
Leo and
Justin Timberlake.
No names.
But you know what though? But we're all just people, right? Mm. And we all come with our story, and we all come with whatever hopes, dreams, fears that we all have, and everybody's different. I mean, Why wouldn't those people have fears? Of course they do.
You know, we do. We joke around about it a little bit, but because the media has created such a persona around the celebrity of these individuals, I believe it's that drives some of the struggles, right? The addictions and the kind of going off the rails that we see with certain people, right? Because they're held to such a place, and none of us know what they're really dealing with, what their challenges are.
I'd say with anybody.
Sure.
Yeah.
You know, actually, last night I went to see some experimental theater here in the 99 Seat Theater in Hollywood, and there were some good actors. And I thought, if any one of these actors who right now is holding down probably three jobs, trying to, you know, keep the rent paid and food on the table and all that, if any one of these got quote unquote lucky and got thrown into this whirlwind and became like one of Friends, you know, from the Friends TV show or something like that, it's like, wow. I mean, that person is still that person with their insecurities and their, you know, I hope I make it. And then all of a sudden they're expected to be on TV and give interviews and give advice and all that stuff and get pictured all the time. It's not easy.
I don't think it would be for anybody.
So one of the things that you talk about with your students in your My Grads Get Jobs, both on the podcast and in the classes that you teach, is about people knowing who they are and also not, how did you put that? I loved it. Like not hiding who you are if you got an issue.
Well, I think it, you know, it started with reading a Malcolm Gladwell book a while ago, Goliath. I don't know if any of you have read it, but it's basically talks about advantages and disadvantages. And it starts with the David and Goliath story. And he makes you think of that story in a whole new way, meaning that David was always going to win, but we didn't know that. Okay. So read the book. But what I talk to my students about is, you know, we all have a belief, right? You believe that maybe you came from a lower socioeconomic group. Maybe you are from a different race, religion, whatever you think your quote unquote disadvantage is, there's a way to use it to your advantage. Mm. You just might not know about it yet. You know, here, the church theme is a big theme for me. And I realize now that probably was to my benefit to be, you know, Mormon, and I was active and I was going to church all of the time while I was at William Morris. Now, I didn't tell anybody that. I was very closeted about it because it's kind of an embarrassing thing. But what I realized was, you know, I don't know. This is a story, I guess. So I was with a friend of mine who was a music agent, and the head of the music department invited my friend, me, and a William Morris client out for dinner one night. And so here we are, and it's a very important dinner. And everybody in music is cool, and I don't exactly think of myself as cool at all, like at all. So everybody's talking, and they're all going around the table talking about the first time they tried cocaine. Okay, I'm sitting there with my double strand of pearls thinking, I don't even drink Diet Coke. I don't know how to compete with this conversation at all. So I listened to one person talk about their story, great elaborate. Then I went to the second person. Then I went to the third. And I am sweating like you were telling your story about coming to your modeling debut.
Did you excuse yourself from that?
No, I sat there just, you know, nervous. But then they didn't ask me. You know why? Because they didn't care. See, I didn't understand that most of Hollywood, you know, breeds a lot of narcissism and people just want to talk about themselves. Mm. So the fact that I wanted to be closeted and not talk about some of my things was an advantage because I was really eager to listen. And I love a juicy story. I mean, I've always loved a good story. I like people with tattoos and piercings and mohawks and faux hawks and blue hair and whatever it is. I'm very drawn to people who wear who have a unique physicality. I don't have any of those things, and I don't see any of those things in my future. No, there's no tattoos. My hair is blonde. It's not pink.
I should have left all my piercings in before I come.
It would have been a good look.
You know, that's just it. I started to say earlier how, you know, you're blonde, you're beautiful, and you were young in that field, and how some people might say that's a tough field. It's a man's world there, blah, blah, blah.
It is. And that's the other thing I didn't know. I didn't know how to harness my femininity. Talk about this. I tell my students this in class all the time. First of all, I had no idea that the power that women can really wield with their appearance alone. Okay. You don't even have to be beautiful. You just have to be a woman. We think in a different way. We act in a different way. If this Caitlyn Jenner story doesn't tell us anything about some of these gender issues that we have, I don't know what will. But there are certain things that being a woman gives you a unique perspective. There were many times in a couple of the companies that I worked for that I was able to connect with men in a way that two men weren't able to do. Mm.
Well, yeah.
No, not that. No, I don't mean it like that at all.
I want you to explain what you mean.
I'm more of a nurturer, okay? I wasn't trying to have the same competition with them. I'm not Hillary Clinton in a pantsuit trying to be a man, okay? No, I show up in high heels, a fitted dress, with some big, big bushy hair going on. Like, I want to look like I'm there to be seen. I'm not there to compete with a man. I'm not in a suit. I'm not in a boxy suit at that. I want to embrace all the things that being a woman entails. And I talk about that to my students because I think it's really important. But again, it's whatever group you belong to really embrace that.
And you and I were talking about something about leaning in. Is that what you're talking about when you
lean? No, I don't subscribe to leaning at all. I really don't. I think that's, I listened to a woman talk about women in the workplace, and it's not about leaning in, and it's not about volunteering for certain jobs. It's about doing things in a very different way. I don't know how much time we have, but how much time do we have to talk about
and
this?
And that's our time.
Okay. So,
for this, another minute or two.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, no, it's very interesting. We go back to caveman days, okay, right? And we've all heard of fight or flight, where caveman goes against caveman, and you either have to run faster to get away from him or kill him. So when there is a situation, a stressful situation, men will approach an issue like this and testosterone is produced. When a woman is faced with the same type of situation, it's not fight or flight. It's fight, flight, or freeze. A woman sits back and has to phone a friend. When she is in a stressful situation, she wants to feel a connection, and oxytocin is produced, okay? So when there's a stressful situation that happens at work, women have to figure out another way to deal with it, and they do it by building consensus and community with other people. This is why it's so challenging for women in the workplace. I mean, even at my last company, you know, most of the people who were in scratch that. I don't want to say it that way. But if you are the only woman or you're one of a couple women in an office environment, it's very challenging to build that kind of community. Men and women think about things in a different way. It's not good. It's not bad. It's the difference between red and blue. That's it. It's not one's higher than the other. It's just different and should be accessed in a very different way.
Well, thank you for that perspective. And I know your students are listening, which is very cool.
They're on spring break, so maybe some are, some aren't.
And they better be listening.
I have one in Miami who's listening, actually.
and they're on a job. Good, Mark.
That's right.
I like that my grads get jobs. Well, and this is the thing. Well, the reason you're able to say that is because they do, and because you know how to get them there because of all the experience you've had actually getting people jobs.
Yeah.
So this is what you do.
This is what it's not just what I do. It's what I love.
And what you have passion for.
I mean, like beyond passion for. Mm-hmm. When I help somebody get a job or show them how to do something, it makes me feel so good because I think an entry-level job in entertainment is probably one of the hardest to get. There's so much competition. You don't really know where to go. And I like being a neutral person. Well, I'm not neutral. That's not true because I'm their cheerleader. So there's nothing neutral about it. I am the one you call when you want support or when you don't know how to do something. I love it.
And that was the other thing that endeared me about you when I actually, I should probably say thank you to Brandy.
Thank you, Brandy. Yes.
Introducing us.
Yes. That was a fun dinner party.
Yeah. But we can't talk about it.
We can't talk about any of that. Yes.
Or pictures or anything.
No pictures, no Facebooking, none of that nonsense.
So the one of the things is that you're nurturing, which I think is a beautiful thing. And we don't have time for it, but you had a nurturing kind of woman in Hollywood at the beginning of your career that gave you some advice.
Marsha Branwen. Yes, she did. Some of your listeners might know Marsha, but she and Connie Chung were the first all-female newscasting or anchoring team in America in the 80s. And she was a client of mine at William Morris and, you know, since became a mother figure and a mentor and a friend. Yeah, so I had that in her, and I hope that I can be that for my students.
That's what I'm feeling. If if you're in entertainment or want to be in entertainment, or for that matter, if entertainment is one of the hardest places to get jobs, then if you learn this, you can get jobs elsewhere, presumably. So this is not just about Hollywood and entertainment. It's beyond all that. So mygradsgetjobs.com. Mygradsgetjobs.com. When we come back, Krista is going to tell us more about My Grads Get Jobs, maybe give us some tips or pointers. And then also, I think she's going to be speaking locally. So if those of you who are in Hollywood can go and see her live. And in a little bit, we're going to have live our friend or James, actually all our friend, James yeah. Valenti, a renowned, world-renowned opera singer and a voice of the 21st century here on the Life Changes show right after this.
The Life Changes Show is a premier radio show presented by the Life Changes Network, which is a company whose team has dedicated their lives not only to positive change, but to helping others observe and embrace, honor, and even celebrate their own changes, thus enabling a more positive, inspired life and helping to create a more positive and inspired world. From everyday people, celebrities, corporate giants, and children, we are here to help and to serve. With heart, integrity, and experience, we bring our message and positive intent into your lives through the Life Changes Show, LifeChangesNetwork.com, and through guest appearances on other inspiring shows and events. If you wish to learn more about Life Changes Life Coaching, a private consultation with one of us, corporate or live event appearances, or if you would like us to appear on your radio or TV shows, please email us at info@LifeChangesNetwork.com.
We are back. I'm Filippo Voltaggio, sitting here with Mark Lejeune and our guest, Krista Parkinson. We've been talking about the art of gainful employment in Hollywood, entertainment, and beyond. She was a former agent at William & Morris and now is a USC Cinema School adjunct professor and creator of My Grads Get Jobs. Speaking of My Grads Get Jobs, do you have some tips for us? And is one of them, don't walk in and say, hi, I'm not right for this job?
Correct. That would be something I would absolutely avoid. Yeah, I built this website, My Grads Get Jobs, as an extension of the class I taught at USC. I felt so fortunate that I had such wonderful kids that I really wanted to keep connected with these students for long after we were in the classroom together. So I blog, I do a podcast, I write out tips. I have a new segment called Ask Krista, where students will ask me specific questions, so I do have some tips. Okay, so here are maybe two tips for when you're going in to interview with somebody. First of all, when you're going in to interview, the first thing you're thinking about is what am I going to wear? Mm-hmm. Okay. So the rule of thumb is, I want you to think of Nicki Minaj when you go into your next interview.
What?
Yep. I said it, Nicki Minaj. Why? Because Nicki Minaj, as we know, she has an outlandish appearance, right? But when she goes on a morning talk show like Regis and Kelly, she walks in with a high-cut neckline. Her dress goes to her knees. Her arms are covered to her elbows.
She knows the audience.
She walks out, and Kelly Ripa says, "Well, Nicki, you look so demure." And she said, "Well, I dress for the lady of the house." So when you go into a job interview, I want you to think of Nicki Minaj, and I want you to think dress for the lady of the house. Me, now the lady of the house is the CEO. It's the person that you are interviewing with. It's the woman or man in human resources.
Nice.
Look them up on Facebook or the company and get a vibe for the environment.
Nice.
So that's number one.
Tip number two.
Okay, a handshake is really important, okay? That will kill it or not in the very beginning. So if, I stress in my class and on My Grads Get Jobs all about authenticity and owning who you are. But I will say this. If you have a weak handshake or you have sweaty palms, you cannot under any circumstances shake anybody's hand. So you need to do two things. And even when you go in for a job interview, your hands are probably clammy and you don't know what to do. You can do one of two things. One, I'm just getting over a cold and I don't want to spread infection. Everybody appreciates that because nobody wants to get sick. Number two, which you can say, and I've run this past every human resources person I know. Let's say I'm a guy and I'm going in for an interview and my hands are just dripping with sweat and the human resources woman extends her hand to shake my hand. All you need to do is you need to say,
give her a hug.
Yeah. Well, no. I wouldn't even do that, but
I would
just say, I'm so sorry, but I'm so excited and so excited to be here. My hands are sweaty and I don't want to gross you out. they would find that so endearing coming from a 21, 22-year-old, because that's exactly what's happening. You are so excited, and that's why you've got sweaty hands.
Authenticity.
And every single person in human resources said, oh, my gosh, I hate grabbing a clammy hand. I've got a vat of Purell behind me. So those are my two tips.
So you're
tips.
Actually doing them a favor.
You're totally doing them a favor, and they can get out of that uncomfortable. That when I talk about leaning in, lean into whatever the problem is.
That's it. Yes.
Yeah. Lean into the problem is. Lean into your own discomfort, because chances are pretty good the other person's uncomfortable too.
Right.
You might not see
it. But don't say it. Like, I know you're uncomfortable too. You don't say
it. You don't say, no, I know you don't want to grab my clammy hand. I know my clammy hands are not appealing.
And not fist bumping, right? You don't fist bump.
Could you imagine me fist bumping?
Not you, but in an interview, you know, I'm going, hey.
Well, you know what? You have to dress for the lady of the house or act like the lady of the house.
Good
so if
point.
You're in the hip hop music business, for you to come in with a formal handshake would be ridiculous.
Wow.
I mean, in the same way, like I've said to people in my class who have tattoos or nose rings or whatever. Yeah. You know, I actually spoke at FITM, the fashion school downtown. I remember speaking to somebody over there, and they said, you know, I tell all of my students to cover their tattoos. And I said, why? They're artists. They are designing clothes. Who cares if they've got earrings, tattoos, or blue hair? Like, this isn't a law firm. We're not going to an accounting firm. You can have that type of artistic display. You just have to find the types of people who are going to be embracing you.
Wow. And Mark mentioned authenticity. I know that's something you mentioned. So I just wanted to put that out there because that's really key to you.
Yeah. I mean, my website is not about, you know, here's a job opening. Everybody put in, you know, their 40 resumes into this position. No, it's take the student. Where do you want to be? You want to be Seth MacFarlane? Then you need to figure out how to work on one of his shows. Okay. I start from that approach. I don't take it of, sometimes you need a job and you just need money, and there are plenty of opportunities for that. But I like my students to be more thoughtful. I teach you how to get a mentor, how to ask for an informational interview, how to approach a stranger. Okay. That's really challenging. My favorite topic to talk about is the art of making meaningful connections. Some people call it networking. And actually, I'm going to be speaking at USC once to the business school on March 25th and then to the cinema school on April 13th about networking.
Okay, March 25th and April
13th.
13th. Both at USC?
Both at USC.
Okay. And can they get more information at mygradsgetjobs.com?
Sure can.
Okay.
I want to touch on that last point because it was really big. And I don't think a lot of people understand immediately the difference between networking and making meaningful connections.
Well, when I think of networking, I think of a bunch of men in cheap business suits handing out business cards saying, right. Let's network. Mm-hmm. I'll help you. Tell me all your contacts. Okay. I think that's stupid. It's dorky and it's weird. And I don't believe in it at all. I think that you have to make a meaningful connection with somebody. You get to know somebody as a person.
Right.
You know, it's interesting. I went to this event called Camp Powerment last weekend. And as part of this camp, it was about over 100 women there. One of the rules was you could not ask what anybody did for a living
nice.
For the first 24 hours.
Nice.
And we had these groups and people led with whatever their real story was. Mm. Now, we found out later, you know, what everybody did for a living, and it adds context. But it's once you find out somebody's story and you find out what they're really about that a true connection can be made. But it does all start at networking events and you have to meet them somehow. But it's not just, let me take your business card and I'll introduce you to my contacts. So thank you for asking.
Thank you for sharing. And
I like how your shoulders wiggle like that.
My shoulders wiggle?
It's like your hair is cascading over your shoulders.
He did kind of break out into the mambo or something on that
one. Yeah. Shakira's got the hips, but you've got the shoulders.
Okay, enough about me. Krista, you're a delight.
You are. Thank you.
You're a delight first. And thank you so much for being here. Looking forward to doing more with you.
Yeah, for sure.
And this has been a lot of fun. And so in just a couple of minutes, we're going to have James Valenti, a world-renowned opera singer, joining us here in the studio, all on the Life Changes Show right after this.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening. Someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
You are listening to the Life Changes Show live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Mariel Hemingway, Shadow Stevens, Gary Zukav, and Kyle Cease on our website at lifechangesshow.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and at Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
Let me. Are back. We're on air.
Oh, sorry.
James Valenti has joined us in the studio in Los Angeles here in North Hollywood. Hello. At Studio NoHo. Hello. He is an internationally acclaimed operatic tenor, known as a voice for the 21st century. I'm happy to call him friend. Welcome, James Valenti, to the show.
Hello. I'm sorry. I didn't get the countdown. I didn't know we were coming back. So
I don't know if they heard you talk about
okay. Sorry.
What you were talking about. You know, earlier in the show, I said thank you to Brandy Wright for introducing Krista and I. But technically, it's thanks to you, James Valenti, that I meet Krista, because you had a dinner party where, and he cooks. And he cooks. He made risotto and all kinds of stuff. It was delicious.
Beyond so delicious.
Well, I'm glad you enjoyed it.
So, and yes, it was.
Mushroom risotto.
Like four or five mushroom risotto.
Yeah.
So, James, so what else do you do? You cook, you...
I cook. I serenade people.
Yes, you do.
I travel.
Yeah. Yes, you do. You travel because you're singing. Where are you singing lately?
Yeah, coming up. I just finished some performances in New York of Bosca with the rebirth of New York City Opera. So that was sort of exciting to be a part of that. It was a big deal in the New York area. And the last few weeks, actually, I've been bouncing around singing on various private parties and charity events.
Dallas and Laguna,
Palm Beach, New York. You know, San Francisco. So I've been sort of bouncing around, and I'm happy to be here back in Los Angeles.
Well,
all of you
happy
guys.
To have you back. Is it risotto tonight again, or?
no.
So where are you going after this?
Tonight, yeah.
Where are you going after this?
I head back to New York, and this summer I'm going to be doing a few things over in Europe. I have a concert in Budapest and Prague. And
wow.
I'm singing at a friend's wedding in Istanbul.
Let me ask you, what's your favorite operatic role as a tenor?
It's a tough question. It sort of depends on the mood, but I would say I really enjoy, of course, the Italian repertoire. I mean, I do a lot of Rodolfo, Tosca, Cavaradossi. Yeah. I really also love the opera Faust by Gounod, French opera. Yeah, I really just love that role, the lyricism and the beauty. It's the story of the old man who sells his soul to the devil to become young.
Yeah, we love that.
It's a fun story, but that's one of my favorite roles, I would say.
You know, speaking of thanking people, we would be remiss if we didn't thank
Ava
Franke.
Yes, our dear Ava.
She's the real reason you and I met, actually.
Yes, in 2001.
Yes.
Yes.
And the Sergio Franke
concert. August 27th this year.
August 27th this year. And James will be singing there. And he's the headliner. I mean, everybody goes to hear James Valenti. And I'll be singing there. And James told me that we're actually going to do a duet this year.
Well, that's what I'm hoping for. I'm waiting for you to commit.
I'm committed. I'm committed live here on air.
I want committed. Us to do something together for once. Let's share the stage together.
All right. Well,
should we keep it a surprise? We'll keep it a surprise.
Okay. We'll keep a surprise. Right. Yes. You know, when I'm partial. Everybody's partial to tenors. A lot of people are, but I'm partial to tenor because my dad was a tenor, and now I used to, I tell this story sometimes on stage. I used to listen to my dad behind the bedroom door, hear him singing. And it was the inspiration for me to sing as well.
Wow.
And that's how I became a singer. So one day at Sergio Franchi, I heard you sing a song that my dad used to sing. Of course, at the time, you had the full orchestra behind you. Here, you're going to do it exactly like my dad did it, if you will.
Okay.
Which is a cappella without any music, which is such a hard thing for singers to do, especially opera singers. But when you're good, you're good. and you're good. You're the best. So here, are you going to do it?
Yeah, sure. I mean, actually, in a way, it's sometimes a little easier because you don't have to follow a conductor.
So I can well, the conductor's supposed want. To follow you.
Well, yeah, but, you know, a cappella, I could just do what I want with it. But, yes, so I'm going to sing for you the Neapolitan song, Non ti scordar di me, which is Don't Forget About Me. Our lives are tied together, and there's always a nest for you in my heart.
Well, here's James Valenti singing just for you on the Life Changes show, Non ti scordar di me, live at Studio Noho.
Partiranno le rondini dal mio paese freddo e senza sole, cercando primavere di viole, niri d'amore e di felicità. La mia piccola rondine partì senza lasciarmi un bacio, senza un addio partì. Non ti scordar di me, la vita mia legati a te, io t'amo sempre più, nel sogno mio rimani tu. Non ti scordar di me, la vita mia legati a te, c'è sempre un nido del mio cor per te, non ti scordar di Non ti scordar di me, la vita mia legati a te, c'è sempre un nido del mio cor per te, non ti scordar di me.
Wow.
So good.
Thank you
You're so welcome.
Wow, you give me chills. Thank you for doing that. It brings back so many memories. You know, I know that wasn't the piece you were originally going to come in here and do. And I think we actually have time if you also want to do the other one. But before we do that, I want to let people know jamesvalenti.com is where you can find out about where he's going to be performing and where you can go and hire him for your private events. I forgot you did private events. I know that you do all, you're at the Sydney Opera House one day and at the Met the other day, and you're here and there, and you still take time to do those kinds of things. Actually, you take time to do a lot of things. You work with children. Talk to us about that.
Yes, I've been doing it for the last few years now. I'm sort of a celebrity ambassador for an organization called Children International. Mm-hmm. Children.org is their website. And I've been a sponsor for them for about 10 years. but I got more involved in a public way recently, the last couple of years. They operate in primarily in Central and South America and Southeast Asia. Excuse me. And it's basically an organization that helps children in developing countries that don't have sort of any kind of governmental help or anything. It's all NGO and nonprofit organization. And it's for $20 a month, you can change a child's life in the Philippines or Colombia or wherever you choose to sponsor. And I love kids. I don't have any kids of my own yet, but I really just love being around kids and helping kids. And so in between my travels, I find time to visit these different locations. So I visited the Dominican Republic and parts of South America. And I went to the Philippines last year after some performances in Hong Kong. And it's something I do just on my own time that I find, I think it's important to give back. And as I said, when I'm around kids, you know, they keep you very present and they're very honest. And I just enjoy their energy. And so I'm happy to help the organization. It's a great organization. And they're based in Kansas City. And actually last year when I was singing there, I happened to be singing in Kansas City, and I did a big fundraiser for them. So I help them where I can. You know, I can't give them millions of dollars, but I give what I can, and I give them my voice, and I bring attention to their organization wherever I can.
And you bring them your presence and your energy and your stories. And every time I see a picture or video of you with them all hanging around, there are a lot of smiling faces. And yeah, so more power to you.
Yeah.
So name the organization again and the website.
Children International. And their website is children.org. And they're also all over Facebook and social media. But children.org, and then you can go on and you can even select a child in that moment and say, I want to sponsor this child. And then you just pay I think it's $24 a month, I believe it is now. So I tell my friends in New York, have one less martini, and you can change a child's life in Southeast Asia.
I was a longtime sponsor of a couple of Children International children. And what was really cool about it is the follow through that the company had I would get letters back.
Yes,
or
yes.
Pictures or, yeah. So you really became attached connected to the growth of that.
And I always love seeing the success stories of the children that grow up through the organization and then they end up giving back to their community and, trying to end generational poverty and bettering their community. It's really, it's a great organization. I mean, they just don't have any other options in some of these places. You know, without these kind of NGOs, there's not much hope.
Well, one of these days we'll hear of some person doing some great things somewhere and they'll end up on the show and we'll have a conversation with them. And I'll say, how did your life change? And they'll say, well, this opera singer came one day to our country. And I'll say, who was that? And they'll say, James Valenti. And JamesValenti.com. I'm going to spell that. James, J-A-M-E-S. Valenti, V-A-L-E-N-T-I, JamesValenti.com. So it's up to you, my friend, if you're willing
Let's do it.
So this is the piece that he wanted to do. And then I told him the sob story about, well, my father used to sing this piece. And so he was gracious enough to sing Non ti scordar di me. What? So tell us.
Well, this is one of the popular Italian. This is Mamma. I mean, we have Mother's Day coming up, so I thought this is always a good one for the moms out there.
Wait, I thought we were okay. So but the other one you wanted to do?
Oh, you wanted to do the other one?
We could do both.
Oh, okay. You wanted to do that one, I thought you wanted to do Mama. We had a miscommunication there. I apologize.
Well, but can you do both?
Yeah. Sure.
The other one in the
okay,
middle.
Okay. So this one that we talked about. I'm sorry. I apologize.
No, it's not your fault.
This is called Avuquella, which is a little Italian song meaning your cute little mouth that I want to kiss.
Okay. So here's James Valenti singing your cute little mouth that I want to kiss. Krista's dying over here.
Come on, sciorille, tu tiene la bucella, nu poco poco rille a passugliatella. Me dammi lo, e come una rosella, dammi la nuvasilla, dammi la cannatella, dammi le piccerillo, nu vaso e piccerillo. Nuovo sapere cerile, come che sta buchella, e pare una rusella. Nu poco poco rille a passugliatella, si tutti una vucchella, nu poco poco rille a passugliatella.
How does he do that?
So
nice. Thank you so much. That's awesome.
Oh, please. Well,
oh, please. Go on.
Go on. Stop. Don't. Stop. Don't stop.
You're awesome. James Valenti at jamesvalenti.com. As he said, he's going to be performing in different places. And, of course, we should probably give Sergio Franchi a website, too.
Yes. SergioFranchi.com, I believe.
SergioFranchi.com. Yes. And Franchi is FranchiNCHI.com. Yeah. So now, before you don't do mama, is there anything? Shouldn't you? Do you want to dedicate this to your mom?
Of course. I think she's actually listening from New Jersey.
Ciao,
right now.
Mom.
So, hi, Mom.
Hi, Barbara.
So, yes, this is for her because she's one of my best friends and always just unconditionally there for me and a mentor. And she's the one that's teaching me how to cook. She's an amazing cook. So I told her, Mom, I want to learn all your best recipes.
Wait a minute. She's not Italian. She's Irish.
Irish,
and she's
yeah.
teaching you the Italian recipes?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow. And actually, there's an Irish... Did St. Patrick's Day pass? Everybody's celebrating it already. It's the 17th, right?
Thursday.
I believe it is.
It's
yes,
Thursday. So, yeah. So to Barbara, who's Irish, the shout out to you.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, should I just launch into it?
Go ahead.
This is for all the moms out there.
Mamma, son tanto felice perché ritorno da te. La mia canzone ti dice che è il più bel giorno per me. Mamma, son tanto felice viver lontano perché mamma, sola per te la mia canzone vola, mamma. Sarai con me, tu non sarai più sola. Quanto ti voglio bene, queste parole d'amore che ti sospira il mio cuore, forse non s'usano più. Mamma, ma la canzone mia più bella sei tu. Sei tu la vita, e per la vita non ti lascio mai più. Mamma, mai più.
Bravo!
Amazing, right. Amazing.
James Valenti, can I just say, so that song I remember a couple times because here we are having dinner in a restaurant. And the next thing you know, just a casual dinner out as friends. And James will stand up and start singing that. And the whole restaurant will be quiet. And everybody turns their chairs around. Everybody will stop eating. And he does this.
Well, I'm a bit of a ham sometimes, you know? I'm also known to sing happy birthday impromptu like that, too. You know?
For no reason?
Yeah, no, for a reason. People, it's someone's birthday. I'll just, you know. One time had somebody in a restaurant. I sang to a friend of mine, and another guy heard me, and he said, it's my friend's birthday, too. I'll give you $100 if you sing to him, too. I'm like, all right, sure.
Well, but I love the audience, you know, I mean, the people's reaction. It's like you were the original, what do they call those mobs?
Flash mob, the solo flash mob.
But you just, yeah. And everybody.
Well, it's always a visceral thing, opera singing. So people always have a very natural, visceral reaction to it because you don't hear that every day, you know?
Yeah. Well, it's a beautiful thing. And I look forward to a CD, my friend.
I'm working on it. Yes, we shall hopefully get that done in the near future.
Okay, well, when you get that done, I look forward to you coming back and doing something from your CD. In the meantime, it's been a treat and a pleasure.
Thank you for having
me. Love having you on the show.
Oh, it's great to see all of you.
James Valenti and Krista Parkinson, thank you so much for being here. On behalf of our executive producer, Dorothy Donahue, and our engineer at Studio No, Brent Hahn, our program manager, Doug Newsom, and BBS Radio. On behalf of Mark Lejeune, our producer, and myself, Filippo Voltaggio, I'm reminding you that as your life changes, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to the Life Changes Show on the BBS Radio Network. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time. And visit us online at lifechangesnetwork.com, on Facebook at The Life Changes Show, and on Twitter at Life Changes Show. Join us again next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. The Life Changes Network is an entertainment network. The views and opinions expressed are those of the guests and participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Life Changes.